Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? First day of the conference, all sparky and ready to go? Good, thank you. My name is Sharon Ehrenkrantz. It is my pleasure to serve as moderator for this session with Deacon Hicks Armour as our speaker. You are in Introduction to the Spirituality of Stewardship. It promises to be a very interactive session, and we'll be starting in just a little bit, but I'm going to ask you to pull up your Whova app or your companion guide and open up to the conference prayer, and we'll pray that together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities. And may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'd like to introduce to you our speaker, Deacon Hicks Armour. A little from his bio, Deacon Hicks Armour is Director of Stewardship and Strategic Planning for the Roman Catholic Diocese of Knoxville. He's also serving as the head of school at Notre Dame High School in Chattanooga. Deacon Hicks joined the diocese in October of 2020. Prior to joining the diocese, Deacon Hicks spent 45 years in healthcare and insurance. He served as senior vice president of employee benefits with Brown & Brown Insurance from 2003 until 2020. He's got a long, impressive career in the secular world, but also during his professional career, Deacon Hicks has always been active in community organizations and has served in leadership positions with the Chamber of Commerce, United Way, Rotary, the University of Tennessee College of Business, Memorial Healthcare System Foundation, numerous other community organizations. He's been active politically and maintains close relationships with a lot of elected officials and leaders. And he's been married to his wife, Vicki, for 38 years. They have two children, Hicks Jr. and Alexandria, and live in North Chattanooga. And it is my great pleasure to welcome our speaker, Deacon Hicks Armour.
This is the last time you're going to see me standing here. If you read my stuff, I gave you the presentation. I said this is going to be interactive, so coffee up. So if you didn't, I'm going to pick on you, okay? They're going to record this, and so a lot of this, and then there's three or four priests here, so I expect you to chime in too. So I know that one back there, so I know that he will. This is about what's in your head that we want to pull out. So I'm going to walk. I hope that doesn't intimidate you. I'm going to ask you questions, and I want you to speak up so that we can record the sessions, okay? So I'm just warning you how we're going to do this. Let's see if I can do jingle and jangle. That's who I am. My contact information is in there, so I'm happy to help you, talk to you afterwards or whatever. Three key words. Come on in, find a seat. It's an introductory session, so I'm not going to sit here and lecture you, okay? It's on the spirituality of stewardship. So we're going to work on those two words. So I want you, we're going to start with what spirituality is. So what is spirituality to you? What does it encompass? Okay. Correct. What else? Prayer. What else? Relationship with God. Baptism. Do you remember the show years ago called Laugh In? And there was the fickle finger of fate? Okay. What is spirituality to you? Like a higher power. Good. Different age group. What does it mean to you? Community. Good. Excellent. The lens with which we experience God. What else? Come on. It's in there. God is the center of my life. What? Okay. See, everybody has something, right? Good. Life with the Trinity. Using our gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're writing them down. What's yours? Connection with the divine. Can I pick on you, Father, and get away with it? I'll ask for absolution later, but now you got to tell me what spirituality is to you. Right. Who else has one? Yes, Father. Good. We heard action yesterday, didn't we? That's good. Who else? What have we not touched on in that piece? Pardon me? Stewardship. Okay. A meaningful connection with something bigger than yourself. Being born again by the Holy Spirit and transformed by Him. Imagine what you've said. Guided by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, received at baptism. Sacred meaning and purpose life. How does that fit in to spirituality? Surrender. Deacon, you're shaking your head. I can pick on you, I know.
Just being open to what God has in store for you, saying yes.
What is one of the descriptions that Jesus used a lot of how we're supposed to be like that relates to that? Pardon me?
Child,
exactly. Our own vulnerability, our own openness to practices, religious belief, allowing Him to speak and influence us. What else did you have up there that you did? What else did you see that we didn't cover up there? We're rich in tradition, relationships with God. We're grounded in teachings and practices of the Catholic Church. You don't have to wonder what we believe. It's out there. We have a book, the Bible. It tells us. How are we spiritual with prayer? What are we doing in prayer? Talking to God. Exactly. How do we do that? What are the different forms of prayer? What do we use most of the time? That's right. We use rote prayer. We use Our Father, Hail Mary. One of the things when I teach CCD or RCIA, and we have new people coming into the faith, I walk in the room the first time and I teach prayer. It's one of the first ones we do. So the first thing I do is I don't ask the man with the collar on to pray. Okay? I walk around and find the least likely person, and I'll say to someone, would you pray? And you look at me, and they say, well, I'm not Catholic. And I go, well, duh, that's why we're in here. I want you to pray for me. And they go, I don't know your prayers. And I go, I know, because I think one of the things for us in prayer is we can rattle off 50 Hail Marys by playing the beads, 5 Our Fathers, and then have we really talked to God? Have we listened to Him? And I think one of the things that we need to do more is spontaneous prayer. If I ask someone to pray, they want to jump to a Hail Mary. Maybe God wanted to hear what was on your mind, not just that rote prayer that day. And when we do it that way, He'll speak back to us, but we have to give Him the space to do it. And so if we try to script Him, I doubt that what we're saying to Him, He may want to say something different to us. So it's how we listen. What about the sacraments? We're still with spirituality. So what do the sacraments bring us of a spiritual nature? What's the definition of sacraments? Remember in grade school? Physical science instituted by God to give grace. And those are so important to us. You can read books about the sacraments. So the sacraments are where we experience something. Communion, we receive something. Baptism, confirmation, you anoint. What do we use to anoint? Chrism. I was thinking of confirmation. Picking on a deacon, supposed to know what to do. Do we really think about, there's some chairs up here, come on, it's okay. Do we really think about when we see our children being confirmed, or when you're teaching RCIA or CCD or preparing kids for catechism or confirmation, do we think about how God interacts with us in that sacrament? Who teaches RCIA in here? Do you ever teach the preparing for confirmation? What do you teach them? What's your message to them? What are they experiencing? Correct. Right. And how do you explain to them who the Holy Spirit is or what it is?
To understand, you know, that it's present at all time for them. And it becomes, especially with the young eighth graders, it's about having that friend, being able to speak to God and receive through the Holy Spirit the sacrament.
Relationships, right? Scripture and tradition. Are we rich in tradition? So what does tradition bring to it?
Richness. word of mouth information, generation to generation. We walk into a room, we know exactly what's going to happen because we've done it before, jointly together with Christ.
So how do we find our space in that? How do we let God talk to us through Scripture and tradition?
Well, number one, we need to read the Bible on a daily basis so that we can understand what God's Word is to us, and we need to apply it to our own personal lives.
Right. What about the saints? This is a priest question. You know the saints better than anybody else. You got the front row.
Oh, no. What's the question? Saints.
Spirituality in the saints.
Saints, I would say, model of purity, spirituality. We look up to them to go closer to God. You see?
We see God working through them. They give us example of how we should be better.
Yeah.
Right. Different people relate to different saints. Because we see something in that one. What St. Teresa Calcutta does, St. Teresa Lisieux, different things to different people, right? But in our own spirituality, we can identify with that. I think we look for tangible pieces to relate to. Prayer, sacraments, the Eucharist. So what I want you to see is that in these component pieces, the spirituality that runs through it, okay? I want you to expand your thought of spirituality, because when you get to the next word, then you have to relate to this one. We talked about prayer. We talked about the sacraments. We talked about the Eucharist, Scripture and tradition, and saints. Now, we did the Holy One first. If we do secular world, I want to do one thing first. What is not stewardship? What is not stewardship? What is stewardship not about? Money. Okay. What do people think stewardship is? Okay. How many priests, Father, enjoy asking for money? None. When I became, you know,
and they become bishops.
Yeah, you need to keep those doors open because I think there's going to be excess right here. We reduce stewardship to money. Part of the reason I do this is because I think it's not. And it's a mindset. I was having breakfast downstairs with a group from St. Augustine. I don't think anybody in here, that I didn't see them. And we were talking about this. And she mentioned I spent 45 years in the secular world. I always said I would never sell anything. You know, I ended up working for a guy who made me a liar. I said I'd never sell used cars or insurance, and I ended up selling insurance. Okay? But so when the bishop asked me to do stewardship, I said, I really don't want to do that. And he said, that's why I want you to do it. I said, this is not a personal conversion. I'm okay. But every priest, I walk into a priest meeting, they say, Deacon Hicks is coming to talk about stewardship. Well, if they could open the back door, the priest would leave. So I did I did the first session I had with them. We have like six ministries in our bishop's appeal. So I put a picture of each one of them. Priest formation, seminarians, we have a mobile medical clinic, Catholic Charities, and I put six slides up. And every one I said, this is stewardship, this is stewardship. Then we did a blank, and I just stood there. And they were waiting for the money. So I stood there, and I stood there a minute and a half. And finally, some of them who knew me go, Hicks, are you stuck? No, I'm good. They were waiting. And I said, so now I'm going to show you what stewardship isn't. And I put a basket of money up there. And I said, I will never ask you to ask for money. Talk about what's on your heart, what you believe in, what your ministries are, why you're a priest. Don't ask for money. I said, if somebody asks you to ask for money out of my office, you tell them to call me. Our donations went up. During COVID, through a bishop resigning, through an apostolic administrator for a year, our donations went up because we focused on the needs of those ministries. That's what stewardship is, and what makes it work is that. I'll pick on my new friend priest. I didn't ask him for absolution either. That is what makes stewardship work, right? So now that I've said it's not money, what is it?
Caring and nurturing.
What else? Gratitude. That's a good one. Yes, ma'am. From God. What else? Listening. Okay, Father, here I come.
No, this is your conference. I came to listen to you guys. You're doing great. Why
are you doing that? I'm coming back. What else is it?
Conversion.
Whose?
In our soul for God, to give God what is His, to return it to.
That's right.
It's taking care.
Taking care. What else?
Oh, good. Discipleship. Others. Yes.
Putting our gifts to use.
Excellent. I see you thinking.
Responsibility.
Oh, that's good. Good. Mm-hmm. I like the way he pointed at you. That's good. So what did you say?
Accompaniment.
Kind of like the gospel yesterday. Who do people say I am? That's good.
God gave us to do His work.
The classic example of stewardship is the first one. All right, this is very common. The management and use of the gifts and resources God has entrusted individuals in the community. What's the key word in there? Yep. Responsible. He gives to us. It's up to us to give back and manage. If you go into the Bible, and I'm going to get in trouble now, you talk about the good steward. It's What did we do with what God gave us? The talents. At least put it in the bank. Just don't go bury it. We all have different gifts. How we use them is how we show God our appreciation for what He's given us. When we bury them, we're telling God, I don't think mine are worth anything. He calls us. He wants us. Everyone in here is different. There's no twins in here. Even twins are different. Ages, generations, genders, and we're all gifted differently. Only God can do that. If He knows the hairs on His head, He knows the differences in all of us. How we use our gifts and talents are key. Serve, share, honor. Traditional way, time, talent, and treasury. How we give our time. Personal growth. Just by you being here today, you're growing in your own spirituality, your own stewardship. That gets closer. But many times our treasures is not money. Treasure can be what we prize most. You ever notice that when people pass away, certain people want the monetary things, certain people want the other things, the treasures, the pictures, the mementos. We use a word for them called priceless, right? That's what God thinks about our talents. This one, I think, is we're supposed to be proper stewards of the environment we're given. So you can see stewardship gets very broad. Generosity and charity. Okay, now I want to show you a couple of things. We've talked about stewardship. We've talked about spirituality. Now I want you to think about this. Are they equal? Are they parallel? Mm-hmm. Is there a different way to show it? I'm proud of that. I'm a humble person, but I was proud of myself on that one. So, are they equal? Mm-hmm. And are they parallel? But isn't that the true one? And, you know, I'm going to show you, I'm kind of a nerdy person. I have an accounting background. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It fits. Is not the cross the best example of stewardship and spirituality? You ever meditate on the cross? Can we grasp what he went through for us? Can we grasp his love for us? I'm not trying to get philosophical with you because I can't do that. But when you think about that, then you start to understand what he did for us and what he's asking us to do with other people. The church I'm in is St. Peter and Paul, and they have stained glass windows on both sides of their lives. And the last window, as you can imagine, is their death. And so many times it's easy to say, you know, Peter died upside down and Paul lost his head. And if you look at the conversion and the effect Jesus has on people, and I'm not near the theologian that the priests are, but Peter is as human as we are, if not more so. But from the very beginning, that's who Jesus chose to build his church on. Yesterday's gospel we read, "Get behind me, Peter. Get behind me, Satan." I think he uses him to show us to relate. He doesn't pick someone with a halo and wings. He wants us to do his work. He wants to educate us just like he educated the apostles and Peter. He asks us to carry on his work. And how we do it is through our own personal spirituality. The work we do may be stewardship. It may be charities. It may be teaching. All those things. But why we do it is our own spirituality. Deacon, priests, sisters, they go through what's called formation or discernment. It's that you have to come to a place in your heart to do what Jesus is asking them to do. They give up their whole lives for that. That's their own spirituality. What they're doing is stewarding everybody else. They're using the gifts that God gives them to get the rest of us to heaven. Big job. Because you lose your hair, won't it? So now what do you think different about stewardship than when you walked in the door?
I think this made it clear the love of God is the vertical and the love of neighbor is the horizontal, and that your response to what you get in the spirituality should pour out into that love of neighbor, and that what you do to the least among you, you do for him. That this kind of summed it up to me, I think. I was trying to get a grip on, you know, it's not just money, but what is it? I think that kind of points to it.
What else? I can pick on you. What did you come in thinking? Why did you come in and what did you leave with?
From this session, the definition of spirituality and stewardship, I didn't know the actual definition before. I just started working at the Catholic Foundation like 6 months ago, so I'm just here to learn.
So what prompted you to go to work for the foundation, besides a job and money? And we can't talk about money, right?
So I do like videos for the Catholic Foundation. So all the interviews that we do is with nonprofits that we give grants to in the Central Florida area. So I get to talk to a lot of nonprofits about the good they're doing in the Orlando.
Did you think God was calling you?
A bit. I think he wanted to inspire me a little bit. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What about you?
Well, I kind of wondered what spirituality was, but I think it's still, it's inside of you, and it's up to us to tell everybody else what it is. And we do that by our actions and by who we are. So it's internal that you have to share what you know and who you are with everybody else. That's what God put us here for.
So it's what he's calling each of us to do, right? How do he call you?
Oh, well, he called me from Massachusetts to the desert of New Mexico. So, yeah. Well, I don't think you can have one without the other. So I think your spirituality and stewardship are interconnected like this, and that it's all about relationships. It's our relationships with God. It's our relationships with our neighbors. It's our relationship with our own finances, and how that carries through into the missions that we serve.
Who in here is willing to share a story of their own calling that they didn't realize until the end?
Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Beasley. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. A year ago, I was living what I thought was my dream. Since I was about 5 years old, all I wanted to be was a weatherman. True story. I've seen 30. Yep. No problem. I've been public speaking behind a camera for 12 and a half years, but in person it is always a little bit different because you see people's reaction to what you say. I became a certified storm chaser, certified meteorologist. I worked in Biloxi. I worked in Albany, Georgia, Knoxville, Tennessee, WATE, six on your side. Did you watch me? Okay. Thank you. Ken Weathers is a really good guy, by the way. So is Matt Henkin. Yeah, no. And then, so a year ago, bringing the story full circle, the industry is heading in a different direction than what I signed up for. And, I had, back surgery that put me out for about, 2 months. And my childhood priest came to visit me and see how I was doing. And I said, Father, you know what? Oh, and now he's a Monsignor, but I always call him Father Frank. I said, I really feel like I'm ready to leave meteorology and go in a different direction. And he goes, are you serious? He's like, all you ever wanted to be was a meteorologist, and now you're saying you're willing to leave that. I said, yeah, I'm at a point where I'm becoming a husband that I don't recognize. I'm becoming a father that I don't recognize. I'm becoming a completely different person than I ever wanted to be. And if that's at the expense of my career, I needed to make a change for me and my family. And he looked at me, he took a sip of his scotch, and then he looked at me and he goes, come work for me. I said, really? You want me to come work for you? He's like, yeah, come work for me. But of course, you've got to ask your wife first. I said, oh, I just talked to her. She said, yes. So that's how I was called to this job.
You get ready. Ask, I want to, if you'll share, if I can pick on you, how'd God call you?
Do I need to stand up with it? teleprompter or...
Meteorologists don't read a teleprompter. We use a green screen.
Okay. I'm a chemist by training, and I've worked in the pharmaceutical industry now for 30-some years. And for me, I was always about myself, my career, my advancement, better title, more money. 2006, during Lent, so Lent is a very powerful time for me, the Holy Spirit came to me and said, I want you to change. I want you to put me first. And that's scary because I relied on me, and to rely on someone else was scary. But I said yes, and they said, I want you to become a deacon. And I said, what's a deacon? And I remember going vividly to my parish priest, who's a good friend, and I said, Father Mark, what happened? He said, that's the Holy Spirit. And I entered formation with the next class in 2010 and was ordained as a deacon in 2014, so 10 years. I just passed my 10-year anniversary. Thank you. Thank God, because it's God's fault that I'm here today. And then just a couple of months ago, my wife and I moved to Virginia from New Hampshire, and I went to the parish and said, okay, I want to join this parish as a deacon. He says, we're going to do a capital campaign. I want you to help me do that. What? And I'd spoken to investors in the pharmaceutical industry, so, you know, public offerings and all those kind of things. But so here I am saying yes once again.
Not really sure how to keep this one short because it was a bit more of a longer story, but I'll try to keep it short. My name is Father Jeremy. I was just actually ordained this past May. Originally I wasn't thinking about being a priest. I was planning to study for pediatric medicine. But then while I was going through university, and I also worked at USA Kids Hospital back in Toronto, the Lord started he started coming and prodding and just trying to show me that there was another type of life that he wanted me to. And I really didn't want it, but he kept on convincing me. And then eventually I kind of just gave in. And then after a few years of the seminary, here I am. Yeah.
It's always interesting. We had a apostolic administrator, and I was in a high school couple of years filling in. So he came, and one of the kids asked him why he became a priest. He looked at me, and so he had a similar story. He'd left the seminary three times. And so it's interesting. It's your turn.
I'm Father Gilbert Medina, and I want to say that I dreamed of being a meteorologist when I was a kid. Really, that was my oh my goodness. I always wanted to be a meteorologist, really, so God bless you. But no, I was raised a cradle Catholic all of my life, and you know, I must have been, while I wanted to be a meteorologist, at the same time I dreamed of being an altar server. I'd see those young boys up on the altar, in their cassocks and their white surplices, and I dreamed of, oh, I want to be like that. Oh, wow. And then those, you know, inspirations as you, you know, go into high school and then you go to college, you get away from that. I went away from the Catholic Church for about 16 years. But in those 16 years, going to college, going overseas to teach, English in Ukraine after the fall of the Soviet Union. It's a long story, but everybody's got a story. It was in these Ukrainian Orthodox churches that I felt a call back to that dream of being on the altar serving the priest. I was always fascinated by the priest taking off the chalice veil. There was something mystical about that. And then I don't know what he put on top of the chalice veil. I thought it was like a quarter, like a quarter, you know, 25 cents. And I said, man, you know, what is that thing that he put? It was a tabernacle key. It was round, so I thought, you know, it's gotta be a quarter. Hey man, if I got a hold of that, I could buy some ice cream. Anyways, but those inspirations really just, stayed with me for a very long time. At the end of my college years, and I was in Ukraine, I started feeling a great desolation of spirit. I entered what I would probably call like a dark night of the soul. And, through the, going into Ukrainian Orthodox churches to light candles, it was after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was a bleak, desolation kind of a spirit in that part of the world. But in those Ukrainian Orthodox churches, lighting candles, I came into connection with the lives of the saints, and those icons just drew me back to that, how I felt as a 7-year-old. I want to be a priest. So I would see the Ukrainian Orthodox priests running around in their black, you know, cloaks, habits. And I said, I'm called to that. So when I came back to the United States, I started going back to Catholic Mass. And then the following year, I was asked to go to Moscow, of all places, to go and work. And it was in Moscow where I started attending daily Mass. You know, something drew me to the Catholic Mass at St. Louis Catholic Church. And on August 7th, 1997, 6:30 p.m., right after the Holy Mass in Russian, I gave my life back to the Lord, went to confession the next day for the first time in 16 years, and the priest who spoke English, thanks be to God, said I need to go back to the United States to begin formal studies. And that's been a while, but talking about vocation story, well, that's mine in a nutshell. Everybody's got a story, but ultimately that story is going to lead back to what's up here on that screen, stewardship.
Thanks, Deacon.
Thank you, Father.
I want to close. Anybody have any questions before we close? Yes.
I was looking at your slides, and what I noticed was that one of the definitions of spirituality was sacrificial giving, while another one was sustainability. So my hearing of sacrifice doesn't seem to be a sustainable management model, because I don't have confidence in that infinite renewal of resource that our good Lord had when he gave his life. He knew there was something beyond that that was going to refill and refresh. I'm just having some issues putting those two words together.
So are you then questioning how our sacrificial component is sustainable? Is that fair? Anybody want to answer?
Everybody's sacrificial giving is different. So it's sustainable based on what we can give, what God has given us to return to him.
Here's what I would say. I use the example of God knows the number of hairs on his head, right? This is where I believe my mother used to tell me, you can't define everything. Part of our faith is having faith. It's like playing outside when you were a kid and you'd close your eyes and fall back and somebody would catch you. That's faith. I don't think, and I said a little earlier, we can grasp the love that God has for us. I don't think we can grasp the love that Jesus has for us. We put a crucifix up there, but that's a polite representation. They tore him apart. He more than shed his blood for us. To do that is infinite love. I think he knows the gifts he gave you. He knows what he's asking of you. If you can say yes to him, he will sustain you. I think that if you ask any priest or deacon in this room, at times they walked into situations and they felt ill-prepared, whether it was because of it happened to them or time. And I saw him shake his head. If we have the faith to pick up the microphone, he will give you the words if you ask him. What we have to do is give him the room. On the prayer, it's not just saying five Hail Marys. You have to listen to what you're saying and truly ask her to do what the prayer is. Get out of the roteness. You have to open yourself up. You have to become vulnerable. You have to be willing to step up in a time when you're not sure you can and do it. And you start doing that, and you will see him step in, because you'll walk up and go, gosh, I didn't think of that. I'm not that smart. It's your trusting in him. It's sustainable because he sustains all things. Look, read Genesis. Look at, he created the world. We can't comprehend that. How do you separate land and water, skies? How do you make the stars stay in the air? We can't figure that out. Smartest person in the world can't figure that out. All you have to do is trust him. If you have faith, if you have your own spirituality, he is going to sustain you. Ooh, that was a hard one. Anybody? Yes.
I'd be pretty confident to say that everybody in here is pretty invested. You're preaching to the choir. We've laid down a lot of change to get here. And I'd like some back, because I came late because I couldn't find the room, because I had to go to the third floor to find the second floor, you know, to find B that was next to A that was on two halls anyways. So you're preaching to the choir. How do you teach people that only can't, their spirituality is the five Hail Marys? And that's a lot of people, and Hail Marys are great. How do you catch those people that don't know spirituality and all they know about stewardship is more of my money?
I think we're called to live our lives, and we live them by example. I can tell you don't do this, don't do that, and don't do that. Some you will and some you won't, right? I think we're called to let people see, let others see how we live our lives. We live by example. Take the 12 apostles, take the saints, and I'm preaching the choir. You know that. What I think we have to do is, like with this session, I wanted to pull you out of the traditional answers of spirituality and stewardship. I could have talked for an hour. I can talk for an hour and a half like him. I've done public speaking. But I wanted you to say things. I wanted you to, and you reacted for 8:30 in the morning, so thank you. You've made this. But to answer your question, it's almost like the question he asked. You have to live your life and let them see that. The best example of how to do it is that. Because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, okay? If he sees you drink it, he knows it's probably okay. So it's by how we live our lives. People follow him because of what he does, the example he leads. And all you can do is kind of like you. Time will take his word of sustainability. Do the best you can with what you got and tell him, this, I'm doing the best I can. If you want more, you got to give me more. Help me. And how you lead your lives, I think it's a culture of change.
I think we have to go away from money. We have to get into helping people. And like I tell our priest, tell them what you believe. Tell them what's on your heart. They can do that all day long. People will give to that. He can go to a rich person and ask for $10,000. They're going to tell him why he can't do it that day. If we reduce it to money, we're missing what he's asked us to do. He shed his blood for us. All we need is to give our time.
I'm just going to back up Deacon's argument of actual ministry. I am Father Paul from San Diego. Okay, in my parish, we started. It's she said, they come for mass. After mass, go home, do good barbecue, good tacos. Life is over. I said, no, that's not life. I told faith in action. When you come to church, you pray. But do some action, feed the homeless, buy a hot meal for a homeless person. So I started visiting the Mother Teresa sisters in Tijuana. You know what Tijuana means? Across the border, okay, from San Diego, Tijuana. So every month, third Friday of every month, we collect food. Very simple, rice, beans, oil, diapers, soap, shampoo, and people bring a lot. 3 full cars of groceries. We take them to the Mother Teresa sisters who have several ministries and give them, and they're so happy. People saw me starting and doing, and I got good, great response. That's what Deacon was saying. So you do something, people see you and join you. Thank you.
We have 2 minutes. Can I ask you to do something? I want you to share one thing of your day that you do how you grasp onto your own spirituality, your own, how you feed yourself, whether it be morning prayer, whatever you want to do, and then give us a blessing.
My name is Father Stephen Castile. I'm from the Humatibodo Diocese. I think for me what drew me back to, I was in a seminary before, left, was married, went through divorce, worked with Shell for 18 years. Long story, very short. What drew me back was the Eucharist. And so adoration to me feeds me. Of course, the Liturgy of the Hours. But the Eucharist, and then what feeds me when I go out is the school. So I just started as a pastor with a school, small school, and just being able to go and greet the kids and spend time in the lunchroom, just getting to know them and letting them see a priest. To me, just that feeds me. They come running up and hug you, and safe environment. I know you just kind of drop down. All right, Lord, take care of this. But they just love you, and they just come running, and so that really feeds me. I'm just been 2 months now, but it's been a great joy. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
Thank you all. If I can ever help you, I've got a card. You can look me up. Thank you.